Anyone rising early for a stroll in Hyde Park this week might have seen President Alexander Stubb of Finland and Prime Minister Mara Kani of Canada on a morning run, joined by their respective wives. Londoners, famously indifferent to foreign visitors, will surely have taken no notice of this gaggle of athletic world leaders and spouses, nor would any passing Finn have been remotely surprised. Stubb, their president since 2024, is so chiseled, lithe and trim that he resembles a besuited whippet. He wakes at 5 a.m. each morning, for an hour of exercise, and 2 hours of reading before starting the working day. Last July, he adopted the rather obvious pseudonym A.S., to compete in the Finnish triathlon, swimming, cycling and running, coming second in his age group. But does the vigorous routine of this 57-year-old also lift his spirits? Stubb has built an international reputation, and achieved outs his influence for Finland, a country with just 5.6 million people, based not just on intellectual mastery and diplomatic finesse, but on his skill at the delicate art of Trump whispering, and his conviction that the Atlantic Alliance can be preserved through calm and reasoned engagement with America. When I interviewed him a year ago, he was visibly buoyed by a day spent playing golf with Donald Trump in Florida. Stubb, naturally, is an accomplished golfer. He told me that Trump was listening to Europe and running out of patience with Vladimir Putin. At the time, Stubb thought that Trump might join hands with the EU to impose punitive sanctions on Russia if Putin failed to agree to a ceasefire in Ukraine. Now everything is different. As I meet Stubb in his suite at the same London hotel, he is just as affable and courteous as before, sporting a pinstriped double-breasted suit cut to emphasize his height. But he also seems more somber, thoughtful, perhaps slightly chastened. Stubb's message about the future of the Atlantic Alliance has gone from guarded optimism to 4 bleak words: salvage what you can. After all, there is no ceasefire in Ukraine, and Trump has spent the last year raining blow after blow upon Europe, imposing tariffs, scorning the continent's sacrifice in Afghanistan, and threatening to dismember a NATO ally by seizing Greenland from Denmark. Trump's latest move is to ease oil sanctions on Russia, the exact opposite of what Stubb wanted, in response to a global energy crisis that America itself triggered by attacking Iran. I ask if he was over-optimistic. He replies, "I think I'm more pessimistic now. In that sense, more realistic." Having said that, there are three things that are different from last year, as far as Ukraine is concerned. The first is that we are involved in peace negotiations, which were not prevalent at the time. He stresses the progress made towards agreeing American security guarantees for Volodymyr Zelensky's beleaguered country. Secondly, Ukraine is today much better off on the battlefield than they were a year ago. He adds, noting that Ukrainian forces are once again driving back the Russians and regaining territory. On top of that, in the past 3 months, Ukraine has managed to kill over 90,000 Russian soldiers, which is substantially more than what the Russians are succeeding in killing Ukrainians. The Russians are not able to recruit soldiers at the same pace that they are losing them. And most of the deaths, 80%, come through drones. So Ukraine's military capacity is much stronger than it was a year ago. But then comes the sting in the tail. What I would have told you, before the war in Iran started, says Stubb, was that the Russian economy is suffering. Before the war, they were looking at zero growth, zero reserves, 16% interest rates, double-digit inflation, and an incapacity of the Russian government to pay soldiers. They were looking at a budget deficit going up from $83 billion last year to a deficit at $130 billion. Stubb adds ruefully, but now, with the rising oil price, with the lifting of the sanctions, we don't know. This will have a negative effect. Russian tankers laden with about 120 million barrels of oil are suddenly free to deliver their cargoes to the highest bidder after being relieved of American sanctions. Many will be heading to India, since Trump has issued a special waiver for the world's most populous country to resume importing Russian oil, allowing Putin to regain his second biggest customer after China. Does he feel that much damage will be done by Russia's fortuitous escape from economic pressure? It's very damaging, replies Stubb emphatically. It's very damaging for Ukraine, because it basically feeds the Russian war machine. The message I've had from the beginning is that we need to do two things: support Ukraine as best we can, financially and militarily, and put as much pressure on Russia as possible. And of course, sanctions are the key. I cite a Financial Times estimate that higher oil prices and lighter US sanctions will hand Russia an extra $150 million every day. Stubb shrugs resignedly. Wouldn't surprise me at all, he says. I ask how much faith he has that America will restore sanctions once the Iran crisis is over. He responds, I don't have that crystal ball. He notes that Trump deserves credit for sanctioning Russia's two largest oil companies last year, and using American tariffs to compel India to cut its imports of Putin's hydrocarbons. Yet he cannot be sure that US sanctions will return. This is a far cry from his message a year ago, when he told me that Europeans should calm down, take a nice bath, take a sauna, take a deep breath, and engage rather than disengage with Trump. Stubb continues to believe in this approach, and he still expounds Finland's version of keep calm and carry on. I'm a Finn, he reminds me, so stay cool, calm and collected. But events have propelled him to some stark conclusions. He now believes the war in Iran is further proof that America's approach toward allies has fundamentally changed. He says, I think there is a difference now in American foreign policy, which we have to realize, and I say this as a pro-American and avid transatlanticist. We have to deal with the world as it is, not as we would wish it to be. In the old days, when the US was a benign hegemon, it would consult its allies first before intervening in Libya, Iraq, and Afghanistan. It would also seek the approval of the UN Security Council. Failing that, it would go with its allies. This time around, the United States has acted alone, or together with Israel, without informing allies. He adds, for me, you have to separate two things. One is American MAGA foreign policy. MAGA is an ideology, it's anti-globalization, anti-international institutions, anti-Europe, or at least anti-European Union. Then the second thing is America First. That's a policy, not an ideology. The pecking order in the national security strategy is clear. Number one is the Western Hemisphere. That's the focus on Venezuela and Cuba, and unfortunately on Greenland. Second is the Indo-Pacific. Third is Europe. Only third. Fourth is the Middle East, which might now change with the ongoing war. And fifth is Africa. So this is the reality that we Europeans have to live with. My message to my European friends and to my American friends is, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Salvage what you can of the transatlantic partnership, like NATO, like defense, and then cordially disagree on tariffs, on climate change, and on other things. I am taken aback that Stubb, the quintessential optimist, now believes the best hope for the Atlantic Alliance is merely a salvage operation. The only mercy is that he places NATO and American defense cooperation in the salvageable category, even if nothing else is. He warns that if the United States continues on this path, they will diminish their capacity to project power around the world, because it is now an unpredictable power. When I ask if he has been in touch with Trump since the Iran war began, he pauses, then says yes, but he will not share details, explaining that diplomacy has two tracks, public and private. From a Finnish perspective, he picks his battles. His war is the war in Ukraine. Stubb's background reflects a life seemingly preordained for international affairs. Born in Helsinki in 1968 into a bilingual family, he studied at the Sorbonne, the College of Europe, and the London School of Economics, where he earned a doctorate in international relations. He met his British wife, Suzanne, at the College of Europe. They married in Bromsgrove and have two children with dual nationality. London became their second home. Stubb rose quickly in politics, serving as foreign minister, finance minister, and prime minister. He returned to academia in 2020, convinced he would never hold office again. But Russia's invasion of Ukraine and Finland's entry into NATO brought him back. By January 2024, he was elected Finland's 13th president. In January, he published a book on geopolitics, The Triangle of Power, Rebalancing the New World Order, arguing that the world is divided among the global West, the global East, and the global South. But Trump's actions have already made the book out of date. There is a split in the global West right now, Stubb says. It's not a rupture, but it is a shift. And there's a crack emerging between Europe and the US, which, as a pro-American and transatlanticist, I lament. But it's a reality I have to live with, and I try to salvage what I can. That phrase again, salvage what you can. He was in London to meet Keir Starmer and Mara Carney. He rose early for his Hyde Park run, dined with the Starmers, and met King Charles to discuss Finland's forests and European security. Despite its small population, Finland is a formidable military power, with more artillery than any neighbor except Poland, compulsory national service, and 280,000 reserve soldiers. The country has Europe's longest border with Russia, more than 800 miles, which naturally drives its leaders towards steely realism. Aided by Trump, Stubb seems to have made the transition after just 2 years in office.